www.ESPN.com.
All hell is set to break loose once again in Egypt. Meanwhile, back in the States, the Tea Party has its say at CPAC, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, talking about $100 million in cuts when we're talking about the budget and spending specifically, not $100 million, rather $100 billion, $100 billion with a B, in spending cuts. Some people are going to be losing their job. Working for the government isn't what it used to be. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show, as we swing for the fences. Don't care what your stripes are, political stripes anyway, or any stripes. Feel free to call us left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between. It's about the conversation, my friends, and we have it here on America Tonight. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. I have that dyslexia with numbers. Billion, million, it's out of my wheelhouse. It's just a whole lot of money. And because our deficit is so out of control, when you just get to the trillions and trillions and trillions, at some point you just got to start hacking away. And speaking of hacking away, when we went to Washington, we talked about this a lot. Healthcare. The pros and the cons of healthcare. We heard from both sides. I wanted to really get a sense. And I'll tell you, the biggest problem with the Affordable Care Act is the fact that so many of the pieces, number one, aren't in place. The price tag is fuzzy, and small businesses are going to get clobbered by this. And if you figure that 90, even though that's not the way it's being portrayed, it doesn't look that way to me, and everything that I've seen, I don't see how the small business doesn't bear the brunt of these new complicated regulations that will hit them. So healthcare is the battle. Spending cuts is part of the battle. The budget is due on Monday. And in the meantime, other issues like immigration, illegal immigration, sits on the shelf and collects dust. However, because the federal government stepped into the middle of Arizona and what happened there with the possibility of a new law that the Justice Department said was unjust, and they went after the state of Arizona, the state of Arizona is fighting back. They announced that they're going to go after the federal government. And why? Here's what the governor, Jan Brewer, had to say.
Their martyrs
did not ask,
and those that have been hurt
fight with the federal government.
We're not hurt for nothing. We are discussing a transfer of power.
Arizona will not rest until our border is secured and federal immigration laws are enforced. And we will most likely have to pursue our claims all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
Boy, the Supreme Court's going to be busy. What with the health care mandate that will ultimately go all the way up to the flagpole, and the same, she's right, the same with what's happening in Arizona. What Jan Brewer and the state attorney general, Tom Horn, said is that they had to file a countersuit against the government. They had to do this in response to a government lawsuit that stopped key parts of their law that they were going to implement, cracking down on illegals last year. And what she said, you heard there, forcing the federal government to do what it's supposed to do. Because here's the thing, and Jan Brewer's not the only one. New Mexico's having these problems. Arizona is having the problems. You saw, you're listening to what she's talked about. Texas is having these problems. California's having these problems. And there's, even though the numbers keep getting reported that numbers are down, it's such a smuggling quarter for people, and the drugs that comes in from Mexico, the more porous border stops are truly through the desert. They'll take the risk because there's no way you could patrol it. There's not enough Border Patrol agents. There's no way to stop a lot of the people that come over, frankly. It's just cat and mouse, but the worst kind of cat and mouse, because the upper hand is definitely to the people, the coyotes, the drug people that are coming over. It's more in their favor. So that state law would have taken effect last July, but it didn't because it was stopped in U.S. District Court. They blocked those parts of the law saying that it was the federal government's responsibility. So that's what Arizona's saying. Well, then do your job because you're not doing your job. So, like I said, the Supreme Court gets this one and they're going to be really busy. Donald Trump was busy. The CPAC convention is going on right now, and it's the big conservative get-together. We've had reports from there. We had reports each and every night, and we'll have something on Sunday, too. So it's just a couple of days, and what's happened is you're going to have a straw poll for the 2012 presidential election. We talked about that, and the same suspects, the usual suspects, are on the list. Tim Paul Lenti, the former governor of Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, and then Ron Paul's name, is the congressman from Texas, is on there. The Mitt Romney's and Huckabee's and the same people that you've seen before, Newt Gingrich, they'll all be part of this too. And do they gain some steam or any kind of momentum after that? Here's an interesting thing. Donald Trump dangled himself out there as somebody who could potentially try to make a run for it. And he says, listen, Ron Paul is not going to get elected. So if you throw in a Donald Trump and a Palin and a Bachmann and then some of these other people, you wonder how wide open is this 2012 bid going to be? Is the real estate billionaire serious about this? Is he really serious about challenging Barack Obama's second term? Trump keeps saying the same things that he says on talk shows, that the United States is becoming the laughingstock of the world, and that, you know, we have to stop this. He said he would decide by June whether he was going to run or not. And he was one of about a dozen people, some of them I mentioned, that were there before 11,000 conservatives at the Conservative Political Action Conference. It's the annual get-together for the start of the Republican presidential nomination fight. Nobody has entered the race yet, by the way, on the Republican side officially, and there seems to be new people that keep coming up. But do you think that's true? Do you think Congressman Ron Paul, who actually has some sound monetary principles that he's been talking about for a long time, is he unelectable? He says he's unelectable. And really, of all the people mentioned, who is the most electable? Is Donald Trump really electable? He talked about it back in 88. He talked about it in 2000. And he never really did it. He kind of creates a circus-like kind of atmosphere when he addresses the crowd, but I don't know that he's really serious about it. Coming up, we're going to go check the mailbag next.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
That song a little bit. That's an oldie. What is that, 80s freeze frame? I still like it, though. It's a perfect, like, TMZ song. Ever watch that TMZ show? Oh, I fell asleep on the couch one time. You know how I feel about the whole Hollywood thing. It's fun to poke fun once in a while. But I fell asleep on the couch one time, looked up, and that was on. And I have to say, boy, they just rip on everyone. I thought... it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. The most beautiful woman in Hollywood, the most powerful guy, the whoever is ever on top of the list. I mean, it's just brutal. Kind of reminds me of, and they might even be a tad gentler in a way when they approach the person, but not once they get it back to the studio. If anybody used to watch Howard Stern and you remember that he had Stuttering John who would go up to the unaware celebrity type person, and then they would look like a deer in the headlights when he bombarded them with some crazy question. I mean, crazy, ridiculous things, like walk up to somebody and say, did you know your daughter is a lesbian and that she was in a mud wrestling contest and, you know, whatever, some crazy outlandish thing that would just stun them, and people didn't really catch on to it. In a different type of scenario, I guess, because it is a little bit different. The TMZ show reminds me of that, and I only saw it because I woke up and the station had been on. I was like, wow, unbelievable. So anyway, the freeze frame song made me think about that. None of you were asking about celebrities, thank goodness, in your emails, but you did have a lot to say. Still, again, people obviously care about Egypt. You had a lot to say about that, so without further ado, let's check the mail.
The mail is here!
Ooh!
Ah, yes, indeed, the mail is here. Okay, here's the first one. This one is from Jake in Austin. Jake has been around for so long. Jake, shame on you for not calling the show. You always say you're going to call the show. I swear, he's emailed me more than anyone in my life. Every day, besides Dennis McMahon, who we love too, from Vermont, he emails me constantly. So this is it. Jake says, what did you think of the congressman who decided to go on Craigslist? Could he be that stupid, Kate? I guess I'm answering my own question, but what a bumble brain. Yeah, I could say something stronger, but what a dope. Yes. Then John Boehner's asked about it, and he says, well, Lee resigned. There was the internet scandal, and, you know, he just pretty much blew it off because there was nothing to say other than he resigned right away, and, you know, that's it. It was his own choice. That was Boehner's reaction. What's he going to say? Hey, it was his choice to do it. I mean, it was his choice to resign. And, of course, he resigned because he didn't have anywhere to go with this. He didn't want to drag this out. He knew that they had him. He was shirtless, for goodness sake. He was shirtless. And they had him, and he lied about his age and said he was a lobbyist or whatever. There's no way that he could come back on that. No way. All right, here's another one. This one is from Cheryl listening to us in Vermont. Hello, Cheryl in Vermont. I don't think you've ever sent us anything. Kate, did you hear about John Kyle's retirement? Wow, that's a huge bombshell. Are you surprised by Kyle? How many people have bailed on the Senate side and some long-term senators? Yeah, long time, I guess would be the right way. But, yeah, long-time senators, a bunch of them. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson is the first one that comes to mind besides John Kyle. But John Kyle, I think it was a surprise. I didn't hear anything about Kyle wanting to retire. What's going to be interesting is there are some strong candidates for that seat on the Republican side, but also J.D. Hayworth is one of them. He's somebody who was a congressman from that area before, then went into talk radio, and I could see him running for it. He's talked about it. But also Gabby Giffords talked about if Kyle retired, she would be interested in going after that spot on the Democratic side of things. Of course, anybody could go after it. So, wow. And what's also interesting about Kyle's retirement is the fact that he's leaving a pretty big hole. He is the minority whip, so that's the number two Republican spot in the Senate. Who gets that? Maybe Lamar Alexander from Tennessee. Also John Cornyn, the Texas senator. His name has come up that he might want to run for it. I think Alexander for sure will try to go for it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Cornyn didn't go and try to make a run at it either. But Cornyn is the National Republican Senate, part of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. So he's going to go for that reelection in 2014. Yeah, he could certainly try to make a run for it as well. But there's a lot of people scrambling to get candidates up and going, like Jim Webb, the fact that he's also leaving. So the Democrats are trying to figure out what they're going to do. His decision not to seek another term probably means that maybe that the former governor, Tim Kaine, might try to run for it, or somebody completely out of left field, pardon the pun, but I would think Kane on the Democratic side of things would have the best chance, but wow, what a vacancy that leaves. So here we go again with comments from the New York Peanut Gallery. This one's from Big Pete in Manhattan. Hey, America Tonight. Kate, I think I used to listen to you on The Fan. Were you ever on The Fan? And then he says, Bloomy, can't stand Bloomberg. Did you hear what he did at that Irish affair? And I did hear what happened. It made like the wires. And what happened was Bloomberg, and by the way, I did work at The Fan. I was there in 2001 to 2004. Bloomberg had to apologize because he made a drunk comment at an American-Irish event, a historical society event. He said he didn't want to offend anyone when he made the comments, and what he said was, he normally, when he walks by the building, there are a bunch of people who are totally inebriated, hanging out the window waving. So the Irish-American community took offense to that. He says he was talking about a party that they throw during the St. Patrick's Day parade. But, yeah, that didn't really fly. So I love this. The city council speaker, a woman named Christine Quinn, said that the remarks were surprising and inappropriate, given the mayor's long history of support for the Irish community. And then he apologized. I'll tell you a funny story about that. When I was at The Fan, it's funny that you asked about The Fan. When I was at The Fan, the Mets did, they do all kinds of, they do a Jewish night, Italian night, Polish night, I think they do, no kidding, like a cultural night. And they do an Irish night, and I was on the air when they did the Irish night, and I said, and I had gone to Shea Stadium earlier, and I said something about, I fit right in Delaney, you know, with the crowd, and there were a whole lot of drunk Irishmen around me, or something like that. I made this a similar comment, and of course, being American, you know, three generations down, completely Irish, if you will, I didn't think it was, and I said it lightly and then made a joke at myself, really. Oh, I got bombarded with emails, nasty emails from people. So if Bloomberg makes a comment like that, you certainly know he's really going to get slammed. Sensitivity in New York, definitely, especially when it comes to cultural backgrounds. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends.
Skip the long lines and high prices at the florist, because right now at ProFlowers.com, you can get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and a free box of chocolates for just $29.99. Just visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444. Unlike overpriced flowers at the florist, which sit in the cooler for days, our flowers are sent fresh cut from the fields and are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days. Just visit ProFlowers.com today to get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and free chocolates for only $29.99. Order now and pick the delivery date you want. It's guaranteed. But hurry, because Valentine's Day is this Monday, and our special offer ends this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is not a drill.
Repeat,
this is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals
now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters.
You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques,
where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and
other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough. But listen up. For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Or call 877-327-0365. Before they come for your guns, hideyourguns.com right now. Right now.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with sun.
Let's see what's on Daniel's mind in Minnesota. Daniel, welcome to America Tonight. Hello. Daniel, are you with us? We lost him. Daniel, if you call back, we will give you a free pass, I promise you. That just means that we'll put you on the air. That's what it means. I'm serious. This is so... If you just tuned in, my name's Kate Delaney. You know the name of the show is ATN. I just said it there. Friday's a big day in Egypt. The drama continues to unfold there. We're talking about day 18. And there are people that are saying it might turn into a bloodbath. Geez, I certainly hope not, because that means the protesters get ramrodded, I would assume. And the demonstration might be the largest. I can see that. You could see the throngs even on Thursday, upset after Mubarak spoke, the president turning over the reins, if you will, of power in a sense to his vice president, Omar Suleiman. But the problem is he's still in. He's still the president. He still has some say. And Suleiman is a different version of Mubarak. So the people that are protesting, they just don't care. They just flat out want him out. They want to hear about transition or whatever. I think that Egypt is on the verge of exploding. Strikes, people not working, the crowd growing bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, how many is too many before you can't handle it and it's just complete chaos? We've already seen that at least 300 plus people have died in the last 3 weeks because of what's happened, especially in the beginning, where you had some very chaotic moments. Now, after Mubarak spoke, this has lit the fuse even more. Even more. So the Cairo protesters, they are on the move. That's what's happening right now. They're waiting. And whatever they have to do, they say they're going to do it. What's been curious to watch too, you know, we talk about, well, why should Americans care? I say that every single show. Here's why you should care: because of the economy, because of this, because of the position in the Middle East, because peace has been there for 30 years. And when you look at the chessboard and you think of the soldiers even that we have over there, and Jordan could be next, and if all of these revolts, they start to spread, ultimately, you know, how big is the U.S.'s role and all that stuff. But there are a lot of people from Egypt that live in the United States that have family members there. I mean, a lot. They're waiting with bated breath to see what happens and trying to talk to their relatives. A lot of people are tweeting out what's going on to try to, because cell phone usage was blocked at certain times, and they're trying to get the word out of, okay, I'm here, here's what I've heard, here's what's going on. But the main thing is Mubarak is not leaving. He's not saying, okay, I'm turning this over, I'm out. He's not out, because according to their constitution, he still would have a say. Nobody is happy in Egypt with what's going on. That's why the explosion seems as though any of the youth not satisfied with what they're hearing. And it might have been worse. It might be worse since Mubarak spoke on Thursday, because the 2 weeks ago, Mubarak's proposals possibly might have worked. But now nobody's trusting this president or anyone around him. And he's saying that there's no change in the overall system. So there's no change in government regulation of political parties, no change in the judiciary proceedings and the way they do things, no change in the power or the office of the president. He's still staying as president, even though he's transferring some of the day-to-day to Suleiman. So if anything, the anger is deeper, and it seems to be getting worse. A lot of workers, including 24,000, it's been reported at a big factory in an industrial area, are going on strike, and they're seeing that others want to go on strike too. In the rail system, engineers who work on the Suez Canal. So the people of Egypt want out from underneath this guy, period. But who comes next? Who comes next? I mean, this is a dangerous part of this standoff or conflict, whatever you want to call it, revolt. The army has to make the ultimate decision. What are the long-term interests for the army? And that's what they'll do. It's survival of the fittest. If there's big protest plan and the people are turning on Mubarak to the point where the army's not really going to turn him back, they're not going to be loyal to Mubarak. The thugs that were loyal to him, they're not going to do that. They're going to flip, because the protesters seem to be that much more determined to get rid of him. So the increased possibility, or probability, I guess, of a military takeover, they just went up. I didn't think that was going to happen, but they just went up. And what about the economic problems? What about the interest in that country? I just mentioned the factory and the people saying they're going on strike there, and then other industries where they're saying they're going on strike. Boy, there's going to be a lot of problems, a lot of trouble, even more than from just the government standpoint. You have people there that are as poor as dirt, who don't have jobs, who are absolutely rabid about what needs to happen there. And for safety's sake, boy, I think the Army could flip. I mean, it's an easy prediction to make. Somebody asked me, do you think Mubarak's going to get killed? Do you think he's going to get assassinated? If he exposes himself in public again, would somebody take him out? Well, there's always that possibility. But now, with how rabid and how big the crowd has grown, and his speech really infuriating people, not mending anything, I think there's a lot of dangerous things that could happen here, unless he finally decides, if he weighs it and decides it's too risky and bails, maybe he would bail in the end, but it certainly doesn't seem like he wants to do that. Doesn't seem as though he's going to do that at all. So that's where we stand. All right, let's move to a couple of other things. This is important because we, you know, now with our president, we're playing for another day. Does Barack Obama end up, you keep watching the polls, does he end up getting his second term? Our last two presidents did. So we had him for 8 years each. Will we have another lock on the presidency on the Democratic side? The Republicans hope that won't happen. That's why they've crowded in at CPAC, and one of the things that they do is talk about the presidential hopefuls. And right now it's just wide open. It's almost like people are throwing their name in the hat and let's mix it up and see what happens in our little straw poll, where we go from there, Iowa and New Hampshire, and because we're into 2011 and now we're deeper into February. Before you know it, we'll open our eyes. It'll be summertime. Then you get to the end of the year, and boom, that's it. You're in. You're in 2012, and choices and decisions have to be made. So when someone really pushes and says they're going to run, they'll start doing that now. That'll start to unfold. Nobody has officially declared at this point, because once you do that, then you're off to the races. There are already Newt Gingrich types that are giving speeches, but he's doing that anyway. Once it becomes official, that changes everything. That changes everything once that happens. Mm. Have you been watching the stock market? Here's another thing to hit as we kind of fill in the blanks here. A lot of people are doing well in the last couple of days in the stock market, even though there's a little bit of a dip today. Not across the board, but a little bit of a dip. So here's what happened, though, that was interesting. If you've been following the Apple stock at all, the share price, people are still wondering what could have possibly happened here. The stock was sailing along. It was up to, I think, 360. Then it started to drop in the afternoon. Then it just completely collapsed in a handful of minutes. It fell, as I was saying, it was up to 360 all the way down to, it went from 355 to 349 in just 4 minutes. So what does that mean? $10 billion was shaved off of the capitalization, that's what they call it, the Apple's market capitalization before the stock began to recover. And I thought immediately Verizon, the fact that iPhone lines at the Verizon stores might have been piling up. Did it have something to do with that? How could it have gone down that fast? And they call it a flash crash. And there was a flash crash before to the Apple stock. You have to go back to May of last year. And usually a flash crash means rumors. When you hear that Steve Jobs, the guy who runs Apple, the man behind Apple, is in the hospital. Remember that last time? That's what happened back in May. And if there's news of what's going on with him, then you could see that kind of a crash. But it's brutal if you're an investor, isn't it? Stay with us.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
What bothers you most about menopause? Is it the hot flashes? Waking up at night drenched in sweat? How about the mood swings or putting on weight? Tens of thousands of women have turned to Amberen to get relief from their menopause symptoms. Will Amberen work for you too? The only way to find out is to give it a try. That's why we're giving every woman who calls today a complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen with a 30-day supply free. Amberen is all natural, and its safety and effectiveness is backed by published clinical studies. Do you want a life without hot flashes, night sweats, or mood swings? Want to lose weight, sleep great, and have more energy? We've made trying Amberen completely risk-free, and you get a 30-day supply free. All you have to do is make the call. To claim your complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen, visit GetAmberen.com or call 1-800-647-9277. That's 1-800-647-9277. 1-800-647-9277.
Alright, here's an update. I actually just got an email from somebody who's been following this pretty closely, what's going on in Pakistan with that American. Remember this story that the people investigating the American who shot two Pakistanis, and what they're saying in Pakistan is that he wasn't acting in self-defense, and they're going to recommend that he face a murder charge. The U.S. is saying that Raymond Allen Davis shot the Pakistanis at the end of January. It was the night of or the day of January 27th because they were trying to rob him. So that's what he did. Washington is saying that holding him is illegal under international agreements that covers diplomats. He was a U.S. embassy staffer. And what do you do? Americans are saying, okay, then we're going to curb diplomatic contacts. We're going to cut billions from you nuts in all the aid that we've been pouring into Pakistan if you do not let this man go. But Pakistan is insisting, the Pakistanis are insisting, that it's up to the courts. That we're not going to do anything. It's up to the courts. And part of the problem, I didn't realize this, and that's really what my email was about, is the you've got political parties who control the federal government and the government in that province where the trial would be held. So that's part of the complications of trying to get him out of this. So the judge ordered that he's going to be held for 14 more days, asking the government to determine whether he has diplomatic immunity or not. So what the chief is saying is it was cold-blooded murder. That it was cold-blooded murder. And they looked at the pistol that one of the Pakistani men had. They looked at it and said that the bullets were in the magazine and no bullet was found in the chamber. And they said, this is how we've determined that the American shot and killed the second Pakistani when he was trying to get away. He was trying to run away, so he shot him in the back. But what do you think the possibility is that the man with the pistol pointed the gun at our American diplomat? So the police say it's the issue of diplomatic immunity at the heart of this, and that the police have this preliminary charge. So he should face a murder trial. Ugh. They have got to get him out of there. They have to, it just shows you, they have to find a way to maneuver. Pakistan is probably the worst of the worst. How often have we said on this show that really that's part of the problem in our invasions, the place where the push really should have been? It should have been up, it should have been all the way through the belly of the beast, which is in Pakistan, in that Pakistani-Afghanistan border. There is no order at that border. So this is the perfect thing to happen for the Pakistanis. He doesn't go to court till the end of February. And they're already trying to get the government to grant the defense request that any trial is not in public view, because then they're worried about what would happen if the population gets whipped up. He probably could be assassinated if that happens. But the deal is he's a former special forces soldier. He left the army a few years ago, and he served with different groups. And the U.S. has him listed as somebody that they would call, somebody that they would put into the category of diplomat, because he was a consulate employee. Man, oh man. I think that there, if you want to talk about backlash, we're talking about backlash in Egypt. How would you like to be this guy? Of course, he knew the dangers of being there, but the Pakistani police saying, look, he committed cold-blooded murder and he's going to be tried for murder. Whoo! I'm sure, I don't care how long he crawled around in special forces, I'm sure he wants to get out of there as soon as possible, and they're trying to get him out, but no dice so far, they're not dealing. And they completely say that there's diplomatic immunity, then I guarantee they'll get him out as fast as possible. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I got a couple of emails on it, and I didn't read it when we went to the mailbag, but I thought about it. I was in the store the other day, and this is completely on a different note, but I noticed that a lot of the shelves were bare, especially like soup and crackers and that kind of stuff. And it didn't really dawn on me until I left. Oh, I bet I know what happened. The truck, so many of you have called the show and talked about the weather conditions with the snow and the ice and all that stuff. So the extreme weather we've had has made it difficult for some of the loads to be dropped off in some places, but also it's certainly pushed up the prices of food, because now you've had situations where in other parts of the world too, there's a shortage. And where there's a shortage, like certain grains, you're going to see food get pushed up higher. So the winter's extreme weather has had a couple of different effects on just getting the locally, getting the supplies in, oil on the rise, costing more for the truckers to fill up, passed on to the consumer ultimately in what the food costs are surging. And most of that really is over oil prices more than probably anything else. But the weather also is playing a part of it, a big part of it. And it, boy, in China, they're dealing with it, too. They're dealing with crop losses. Globally, crop losses have been pretty high. The floods in Australia, we talked about that a lot. That cut wheat production by about a billion. Who knew? I was just talking about Pakistani and this poor guy who's caught in the crosshairs, because from all the accounts I've read, I think he was defending himself, that they were trying to get him. But anyway, talking about Pakistan, the farmers there had about $500 million in crop damage, because remember they had the monsoon rains that just flooded that country and left so many people homeless. And of course affected the crops too. In Iowa and Wisconsin and Illinois, Missouri, a lot of people are listening to me in Missouri. You have water that's sitting on the ground and it's not coming down rivers. So all those other places, if it comes down at once, then you get the flood situation. So that hurts, that drown, basically, for lack of a better way to describe it, I'm no farmer, but it just drowns the crops and creates a problem there. So the weather, both across the globe and in our own backyard, has had this effect. And if you pay attention, like I said, if you pay attention to go to the grocery store, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we're always so much in a hurry. I started to think about the truck thing, and I started to think about the weather, but then throw in the world situation. Wow. Then you realize, yeah, that's why there's no soup left. There's a couple of boxes of ramen noodles that are there on the bottom shelf. That's it. Everything else is picked apart. Whoa. Crazy.